A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In recent weeks, I've been watching a World War II series that has captured both my time and my imagination. The series is called A French Village, Un Village Français, and as the name suggests, it was originally produced for broadcast on French TV. By way of background, the series is set in a fictional city of Villeneuve in eastern France during the years 1940 to 45. At the risk of oversimplifying, it tells the story of two groups of French citizens during the war. Those who ended up collaborating with the Nazi regime that occupied France beginning in 1940, and those on the opposite end of the spectrum, freedom fighters, who joined the French resistance and who helped the Allies win the war. It would be an understatement to say that those in the resistance made tremendous sacrifices during the war. Most were just ordinary citizens from all walks of life, men and women who risked their lives and their livelihoods, their own security, and that of their families, to stay true to their beliefs. They knew that if their activities were discovered, they and their families would face imprisonment, torture, and even death. Indeed, many of them did suffer a cruel fate, sacrificing their lives for a higher calling and entrusting their souls to God. Others were forced to live underground throughout much of the war, hiding in forest and cave, enduring hunger and cold during what seemed for a long time a losing battle. And yet by war's end, most had held true to their ideals and saved countless lives, including thousands of Jews who were being mercilessly hunted down for deportation, and also Allied soldiers who parachuted into France before the Allied invasion of 1944 began. On the other side were those who collaborated with the enemy and who ended up profiting from the war. Admittedly, at the beginning of the occupation, issues were far from being black and white. Compromise and collaboration with the enemy seemed to be the best way to preserve a measure of order and peace. And yet, little by little, the enemy demanded more, and many of the collaborators sold their souls. At first, they rationalized that everything they did was strictly legal, backed up by the courts of the land. They congratulated themselves for being more pragmatic and clever than their neighbors, having the foresight to choose the winning side. Indeed, history was on their side. So they believed. It wasn't long before these collaborators were informing on their neighbors when they engaged in activities like buying food and other precious commodities on the black market, despite the fact that they enjoyed easy access to the black market themselves. They were rewarded by the enemy with lavish meals in fine restaurants, extra supplies of ration tickets, which were so highly prized during those years. Some specialized in exposing Jews who had gone into hiding. For that, they were compensated with the homes and property of those poor souls as they were herded onto trains to be sent to death camps in the East. Many of the collaborators were entrepreneurs, business owners who got very rich by buying Jewish-owned businesses for a pittance and then signing lucrative contracts with the occupiers, all in the name of Aryanization. Still others infiltrated the resistance movement and outed freedom fighters or else became paid informers for the SS, the secret police who were guilty of the worst crimes. One of the most interesting aspects of this series is the way it portrays the collaborators as the war progressed, as it began to dawn on them that maybe, just maybe, they had cast their lot with the losing side. Many used their ill-gotten gains to bribe civil officials to hide what they had done. Others fled to neutral Switzerland before the war's end. For the most part, however, up until the final days, those who collaborated were unwilling to forsake the easy, lucrative, and for a time, the safe and secure life which they had chosen. They had become self-important, habituated to privilege and prestige. They enjoyed wielding the power to intimidate others, even to destroy the lives of those who were not politically correct. They held on to their rationalizations and refused to admit to themselves what they had done. When the liberation of France finally came, as American tanks rolled in, fast-moving events caught them unprepared. Some ended up taking their own lives. Others fled into the forest and fields where they had previously hunted down their innocent neighbors. Many were arrested and imprisoned and tried for war crimes, even put to death. The lucky ones by military firing squads. Others beaten and hanged by angry mobs who wasted no time in exacting revenge. In the end, they found themselves in debt to an enemy, which had neither the means nor the desire to defend them. Now, I bring this up today not to relive the tragic history of the Second World War, but rather to illustrate the truth which Paul enunciates in our second reading today. St. Paul says, "Be not debtors to the flesh, and do not live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you must put to death deeds of the flesh, that you may live." This weekend, we celebrated our National Day of Independence. And at present, my friends, our nation is in a battle for its soul, a battle for the salvation of our souls as well. In the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, St. Paul says that in every age, Christians must be aware that our battle is not only against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this present age, and against angelic powers in the spiritual realm. Now is the time, Paul says in our reading from his letter to the Romans, that we must choose. Will we collaborate with the enemy, or will we remain faithful to God? To whom will we be in debt when the final victory comes? Not long ago at Mass, we had the gospel passage in which our Lord tells us that we must choose to travel along one of two paths. One is wide and easy, offering material comfort, worldly security, earthly power and privilege. And yet it is a path that leads to destruction. Do not make a deal with the devil, Jesus warns, incurring a debt that we cannot pay for the false promise of empty and fleeting rewards. No, our Lord says, choose the harder, the narrow path, the path less traveled, and remain true to Christian virtue and the certain hope of receiving virtue's rich reward. I'll close today with an entry from the diary of St. Faustina, the Apostle of Divine Mercy, entry number 153. In this passage, she describes a vision of the two paths of which our Lord has spoken. Faustina says, "One day I saw two roads. One was broad and covered in sand and flowers, full of joy, music, and all sorts of pleasures. People walked along it, dancing and enjoying themselves. They reached the end without realizing it. At the end of the road, there was a horrible precipice, that is, the abyss of hell. These souls fell blindly into it. As they walked, so they fell. The number was so great, it was impossible to count them. Then I saw the other road, or rather, a path. For it was narrow and strewn with thorns and rocks. The people who walked along it had tears in their eyes, and all kinds of suffering befell them. Some fell down upon the rocks, but stood up immediately and went on. At the end of the road there was a magnificent garden filled with all sorts of happiness. These souls entered there, and at the very first instant they forgot all their sufferings." In today's gospel, Jesus makes a promise that must be understood in the light of eternity. "Come to me, all you who labor and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy, my burden light." Of one thing we can be sure, the final victory belongs to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.